Like Googling cartoon Yogi Bear exit stage left name. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show in the whole wide world. It's Under the Radar. Although, today we're going to be a little above the radar. On the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast, with me as always, your friend and mine, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friend.
Microphoneless Ian Khan.
Microphoneless and beeping Ian Khan.
My friend and yours, do you remember?
Good morning.
Let's get it on, boys. So, end of season. You know, we're all in different places in our leagues. I think we could do a little recap later. I don't know if just to indulge ourselves. I don't know if anyone cares to listen to it, but Giancarlo Stanton's destroying me and my opponents in my only league where, you know, I'm still alive in my college friends league, which I think it's probably in its last year because people had to beg them to come back. Although I'm going to propose a 60-game season. I think that's going to work. He's got Anthony Santander, who has 28 points in 2 days or whatever. So I think I'm sunk there. But I believe Ian Khan and the Ian Khan Robert Mershak juggernaut is in a pretty good spot and playing for higher stakes than $50 buy-ins. Good times. Diver, how are you doing, man? Let me guess. You're doing like winning Maki or one of these leagues that have several rules that are hard to wrap our heads around, but we still love you?
Oh, wait a minute. I have a league type that I'm thriving in, the more complicated leagues, extra rules.
Yeah, a lot of people write in and say DVR only does well in leagues that have complicated rules.
DVR wins any league where every time you run a 5K, you get an extra $5 in fab.
Exactly.
No, I am winning Maki right now, but every day it changes. Every
you really are winning
pitch,
Maki.
It changes. Yeah. I'm in first by a half point. I think there's a 33% chance that I win, a 33% chance I take second, and a 33% chance that I split with John Topperzer, who has just been right there. Like, all the categories are really close, and I think we've both done everything possible to max out, and it's just it's going to happen on the field. There's nothing else we can do.
Dr. Tom and I are solidly 10 points behind you guys or so. We're 12 points behind. I think you guys have 148 and we've got 136. 16 team league, right? 16 or 17?
16.
16 team league. But those two guys are, I almost made a choice this week to drop some really good players just to re-pick them up in fab for a lower price because we're not going to lose third and we're not going to make first or second. And I just wasn't sure if that was gentlemanly on my part to do.
Why wouldn't it be gentlemanly?
You know, a guy like Manny Machado he's on a 32C contract, and you can't keep him beyond this year, but he's keepable probably up to 42. And I've got more fab than everybody else, I think. I think I've got the hammer, except for two guys who haven't made fab bids in a while.
Is his fab price is where you keep him at? So if you drop him and pick him back up at like 16, then that he's your keeper at 16.
You've been 16 for the next 3 years, pretty much.
Yeah, dude, so, that's my move. Why is that not gentlemanly?
I don't know. It just didn't feel like the right play at the time. When I was looking at it last Thursday night, I just went, nah, don't do that.
Wait, DVR is 10 points ahead and he's won this league. So it's not like you're going to be feeding him Manny Machado to beat a guy who's a half point ahead.
Man, nobody was. Well, that was the other question about it is that, you know, I think DVR and I are close on that. But no, we won the league a couple of years ago, second last year, third this year. It's just how it's going to be. And DVR and Topper are doing great. It's a fun league, and it's almost on its last week, man. This last week is like every minute of every game is now like really intense. It's just really, really intense right now.
I would make that move. That's my move. That's what I do in the Scott White Dynasty League all the time.
Yeah,
try and stand. It works, dude. I was able to sneak Yoan Moncada. I mean, maybe it wasn't the greatest move of all time. Maybe I should be, hey, Yoan Moncada.
Hey, man, Yoan Moncada has been hot for the last couple of weeks. I just picked him up in a head-to-head playoff league that I'm in.
Maybe he's quit singing.
Thankfully.
Did we ever listen to his whole album, though?
No.
Oh, there you go. Maybe we should have an album listening party this offseason.
I'd rather watch Midnight Run. DVR.
Well, 67% of us have watched Midnight Run.
There you go. It's a fun movie. Maybe not quite as good as I said.
I've got 33% of us believe it's a 9.0 on IMDb or higher.
I think it's really quite good. DVR, what would you have felt as commissioner if I'd made that?
It's allowed within the rules. I mean, I think maybe there's a conversation about whether or not it's a gentlemanly thing to do or a fair thing to do. I don't know how else to describe it. But anyway, I've seen people do it in the past. I think usually those players get what happens is players that good that get picked up at the end of the season were more likely dropped because they were hurt earlier in the month and it didn't look like they were going to come back or it wasn't certain they were going to come back. I cut Nick Castellanos, for example, in mid-September, early September, whenever that oblique injury happened. We know obliques can take 3 or 4 weeks, so easy call to let him go because I needed someone else on the roster. He'll be available this week, so I imagine he'll be the kind of player people are trying to get in at just the right price as a keeper for next year. Happens every year like that. I've seen people, I think I've even probably dropped players that were on C contracts late in the year and picked them back up. So, no, I don't have a firm opposition to it. I mean, I know you could theoretically try and game the system because if you hold enough fab and you know most of the league doesn't, then you could drop 2 or 3 players and possibly get them all back if you did all those things right. But again, it's allowed within the rules. I think it's thumbs up on this one.
Oh, dude, that's the commissioner. Come on. Well, I think now you run the risk of it backfiring.
Well, the question, I guess, that we could think about is when you spot something like that, do you bring it up to the league as a possible rules change for next year? Does it make the league better to not have that as part of something you could do?
How about that? I think that's right. I think that if you drop a player, you should not be allowed to pick him up that week, the following. You cannot do that. Or use the tout rules where you can pick him up, but you have to pick him up. Well, no, because even that won't work. Because if I were to pick up Machado for $32, or if you pick him up in the week.
I got it. If you drop a player in this league and you pick him back up again, the contract the player had previously is the contract he still has. If someone else picks him up, the contract resets.
That's right. It was the only way. It's the only way to, and because I felt, I just was like, it's not worth, you know, it's never worth giving your character up for fantasy baseball ever. And that would have been a situation where I think I felt a little just, I was like, I could, but I don't want to. So I'm not going to. You know, I'm just not going to do it.
Go for the jug. You know what? This is we're watching Cobra Kai, the new season here, and this is, you know, Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai, basically. Ian's being honorable Miyagi-Do, whereas you could be strike first, strike hard, release Manny Machado and try and pick him up for $14 and reset his keeper status.
Yeah, listen, I grew up watching The Karate Kid. I'm a Miyagi-Do guy. I'm a Miyagi-Do guy everywhere.
You could have been Karate Kid 3. Wasn't that the time when you were kind of like acting professionally?
I think I was in junior high school, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Well, maybe the next Karate Kid. What's the one that was like late 90s? Not the Jaden Smith one, the Hilary Swank one.
Yeah, that's right. No, but not. I mean, but there's a young lady, not a girl, she's a woman on that show named Peyton List. Peyton List, my younger son, if he ever listens to this, is going to get so mad at me. My son has a crush on Peyton List, my 9-year-old, because of the TV show Bunked. So it's a show. He's not allowed to watch YouTube, so he's been watching Netflix, and he's like watching Bunked, and she's the star of Bunked. And one day I said, hey, you know, I actually know Peyton. He's like, what do you mean? You know Peyton List? I said, I did a movie with her when she was like 8 years old. I'm friends with her mom. And he was like, he just got his eyes got really big. And then my wife, Nicole, found a picture of Peyton List holding my older son, Ben, when Ben was like 3 months old. We were in Detroit shooting this movie. And so there's this picture of Peyton List and my son. And my younger son is just like, what is going on? What the hell is going on? So that was a fun moment from this week that happened.
Wait, so you weren't like, let's call and get you on a FaceTime or something?
No. I'm still friends with the mom, but she's done so well. She's her mom and the whole family. It's just a lovely family. They're really good people. But back to the thing, no, man, it's all Miyagi-Do, bro.
I know, man. I admire that. I do it in the Skyway Dynasty League. It's more fun, I guess.
You do what you need.
If there's no money involved, it's 24 teams. We've made Scott White into this cartoonish commissioner almost. So I'm like, oh, let's see if I can do this. he doesn't let us do off-season trading. Like, he's got these rules. It's a DVR would love this league. It's sad that you turned it down when I offered you guys the open spot.
Nah, I'm dropping leagues, just everyone knows. I mean, leagues are going. I got too many leagues, and in the off-season, there's going to be a pairing of leagues.
Okay, help us. Which ones? Did you have you rank them? Let's hear it. What are you dropping first?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna wait till the end of the season and then make my decision about it all.
There's no better feeling than starting a season and being like, whoa, I only have five leagues. This is amazing. And like two of them are best ball.
Yeah, that's it. That sounds like a good feeling. But no, it's time to I gotta start paring down leagues for sure. It's definitely the time to do it. So
Let's get into Aaron Judge. Since I don't think anyone else is really talking about this. Top of Ian's list in the rundown.
I realized last night it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, wait, is there a rundown? And then I was like, there's no rundown. And I'm up watching the end of the San Diego Padres Dodgers game, which was remarkable, the last like inning. And then I finally went to bed at like 1:30. But I was like, there's no rundown. And I was like, all right, I got to make a rundown. And every at bat that Judge has, my whole family, wherever we are, the game is on and someone is downstairs. And then we just hear screaming, Judge is up. And we come running downstairs to watch Judge hit. And he just keeps walking. Like literally, he had 4 walks last night.
And well, I mean, yeah.
It makes sense.
I guess they've won the division now, so maybe he can relax a little bit and start hammering home runs again.
Yeah, he can't try to hit a home run. It's just, you can't do that. Like the cool thing is he might get the triple crown, and that'll be insane to get the triple crown with even 60 home runs. 60 home runs and a triple crown is the greatest season ever. Well, maybe not Barry Bonds, but we could get into, is Bonds' season legit or is it not legit? But
why wouldn't it be legit?
Because I personally think that he did not do it fully legally. So I don't look at it as a fully legit record personally. That's my personal opinion. Same with McGuire. I don't look at that in the same way. But it is fascinating to watch Aaron Judge's mom sitting next to Roger Maris's son. It's just weird. It's just so much dissonance going on there. And they're lovely and everyone's being great, but it's like one of them is like, do it. And the other one's kind of like, you can, but you don't have to. Like, you don't have to hit the home run. Have you seen any of this DVR? Have you seen any of the Judge chase?
Oh yeah. It is a lot like the McGuire Sosa home run race, just in terms of the type of attention it's getting. But the triple crown thing is awesome. That's, to me, the bigger story.
Kind of. Yeah. And that's why I think could be his savior. Is like, all he has to do is hit the ball hard. Don't try to hit home runs. Try to get singles and let the home runs come. You know, let the home runs happen.
It's been what? It's been 2 weeks? I mean, are the home runs going to happen? Is he going to be stuck at 60 forever? Like Fred McGriff, 499?
Not forever, but I mean, yeah, he could. I can see a scenario where that could happen. We'll probably get it. Probably 2-1 game will put him over the top, maybe at home. But it's really hard because teams are wisely pitching around him too. Like when the Red Sox pitched around him, it was sort of silly because it was like, dude, play baseball. It doesn't matter. You're losing to you're losing to everybody. Like, you know, play the game. But the Blue Jays walking him, I'm like, they're going to walk him. They're going to walk him every time, and they should. He's the best hitter in baseball right now. Why pitch to him?
I think was the Red Sox game the other night where like Judge is coming up and, you know, guys on second, walk him, right? And they were like, no, you know, we think Alex Cora is just going to let him hit. And this is a big moment. It was like the fifth inning. It was right before it got called. Bayo was pitching. And they were like, I think I was watching the K-Rod cast. And I think it was A-Rod who's like, this is a big moment for the pitcher too, man. I mean, you know, he's trying to prevent this.
Yeah, Bayo, by the way, looks – I watched that. Oh, man, he looks great.
Would you want him or Cody Morris? I had a choice between him or Cody Morris in the waiver run, end-of-season waiver run that we had here because people had to drop him in this AL-only league where we have weird rules.
Bayo, DVR, who is it for you, Bayo?
I think I want Morris, even though there's more injury risk there. I think that the injury risk is the thing that would make me reconsider and possibly prefer to take Bayo.
All right, I think I'm not worried. I guess, yeah, I didn't even factor in the injury. in my brain, it's like, hey, he got past it. You know, he sat out most of the season. Everything's great. All right, fine. I'll go Bayo with you guys. I don't want to just be different for the sake of being different.
Morris has been in the Guardian system for 3 seasons. He's never thrown 100 innings in any of those years. So there's real injury concern there.
All right. Well, you don't have to be mean about it.
He's 25 already, too. I like the guy. I'm just pointing out the limitations and flaws and trying to keep myself on the ground.
Tell you what, their track record is so good in Cleveland. In score sheet, we had a, you know, we have our supplemental draft every month. In the last one, I selected Tanner Beebe. Know nothing about him. Just started going through Cleveland pitchers. I'm like, oh, this Tanner Beebe guy looks amazing. 23-year-old Cleveland righty in the system. He was, I think Keith Law put him in his midseason reset. Anyway, look up Tanner Beebe. He's I randomly stumbled upon him, and now I'm obsessed. You know, ERA steadily got better. Came out of college amazing this year. His minor league ERA is 2.17, WHIP 0.97. He's got that typical Cleveland 11.3 K per nine. You know, 25 starts, 132 2/3 innings pitched. You know, up to Double A this year, his actual ERA got better. So it's B-I-B-E-E. Or am I just telling people about someone they already know about?
No.
No, he's a big riser in the prospect world this season because he was a 5th-round pick just a year ago. So for him to split the season at 2 levels and be as good as he's been, yeah, he's, I think for everybody, he'll enter 2023 as a top 100 overall prospect. And he's just the latest in a nice group of risers because they've got Daniel Espino has been hurt most this year. I think just about anybody who analyzes prospects has him as their clear future number one. Gavin Williams isn't that far behind. Morris has excellent stuff. And then Tanner Beebe is kind of like, I think when I talked to Keith about Beebe on the Athletic Baseball show, the similarities between Beebe and Shane Bieber in terms of like how much better Beebe has gotten in their system, that was the comparison he made at the time, which, I mean, think about how good Bieber is and how much he exceeded expectations. Like, that should get us all pretty excited.
The other guy I grabbed in that double thing was Nick Frasso, who was pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys heard of him. Yeah.
Tell us about Nick Frasso.
Dodger system. He actually was traded in mid-August from Toronto to the Dodgers. Amazing.
In the Mitch White deal.
Probably. Did they make any other trade? I don't know, man.
That was the one.
54 innings, 76 strikeouts, 1.83 ERA, 0.93 WHIP, and a 12.7 K per nine across 3 levels. He hit Double A this year. Did not do well in 4 Double A starts, but I'm willing to. It was only 11 innings, 4 starts, whatever. I'm willing to forgive.
Hey, man, it's an under the radar. It's an under the radar Nando guy. First time really digging in. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, this is what I was doing on my break, was Tanner Beebe and Nick Frasso, learning about them, and putting them on my score sheet team that's forever going to be 500, which is sad, but such is life. And then forgetting that Chris Woodward got fired. That's basically how my time off went.
Yeah, he did.
Ian, you got some Josh Hader ... end of game ...
Weird end of the game last night. That was so weird because I'm in the NL tout final week and I'm just like chewing my nails. Looks good right now. 97 points. Second place is 90. But very tight still all the way around. And so I'm up watching because Luis Garcia, I've got a lot of middle relievers going this week, which is part of where the Phil Dussault gave advice came from. And I'm watching Luis Garcia. He's got, you know, he comes in, gives up, a walk and a hit, a strikeout, a pop up, and then Mookie Betts is up. And it's one of those moments where you're like, all right, do I want Betts to do well because I own Betts everywhere? Or do I want Luis Garcia to not give up earned runs? Because if you give up earned runs, we could lose, you know, a point here and a point in WHIP against my friend Steve Gardner. And then Mookie Betts flies out. So I'm like, okay, cool. All right, cool. Now Luis Garcia can get the win. That'd be cool because that would protect against Lenny Melnick coming up for a point and trying to catch Brian Walton for a point there. And, you know, it's like all the mental machinations that are going on. So they bring in Caleb Ferguson. Yeah, it is first. Ferguson comes in, walks first guy, walks second guy, walks third guy. Chris Martin comes in, who I also picked up this week because of Mr. Dussault and his advice.
What was his advice?
His advice was, he's like, yeah, you don't need, you've got the lead in strikeouts by a ton. You've got a big lead. It's the ERA points that matter. We talked for a good hour on Friday. He was giving feedback to me for the close of the main event where Rob Mershak and I are now in sixth place. Anything can happen. Gosh, anything can happen after last night. And it didn't go as well quite as we would have hoped, but it went pretty darn well. And our bats are waking up. We could peek up to the top couple. It's not impossible.
Who are we rooting for? Like, can we just collectively get all the under the radar good juju and then put them on somebody for you for the rest of this week?
Well,
Steve G,
Logan Webb. Logan Webb was good last week.
Pick someone a little more exciting for us. Cheer for, man. Come on.
Cheer for.
All right, we'll do Logan Webb. Hey, let's put all Corbin the good feels on Logan Webb.
How about Corbin Carroll? Let's give Corbin Carroll lots of love. Corbin Carroll will help me in both NL Tout and in main event. So that would be fantastic.
All right.
So Dussault was like, you got to pick up as many. Just pick up. These are the top middle relievers that I have. I hope it's all right. He's not going to mind me sharing that. And we went through the list and we went over it. I mean, I really like called him in because I was like, I got a 4-point lead at the time. I had a 4-point lead and I'm trying to just hold on now. You know, I've had first place except for like 2 or 3 days since June. And I want to hold it. I just want to hold it. I would like to win Tout this year. And my hands are sweaty just thinking about it. Whew, chill out, boy. So Ferguson comes in, then Chris Martin comes in, and I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, so I got Martin in. I want him to get outs, but I also want him, I want the Padres to score a run, because if the Padres score a run, then Garcia gets the win. That would be awesome. Martin comes in, gets the next guy out, the next batter. So it's two outs, bases loaded, ground ball to Justin Turner. Turner basically boots it, whatever. I mean, he like loses control of it. Error. I'm like, perfect, perfect. No cost to Martin. Garcia's in position to get the win. Error. Then the Padres are pitching. Hader comes in. He looks good. Well, Trey Turner doubles to left center field. So it's like, all right, oh man, Hader, here he goes. And Rob and I spent a long time last night deciding between pitching Joe Ryan this week or pitching Josh Hader this week in the main event. And we really went back and forth on that. Like it was maybe sit Kluber or maybe sit Joey Wentz, who we had just picked up on a two-start week, because Dussault was like, you need to go. The difference between 10th place, where we were at the time, we get like $5,000 extra, right? But if you get up to 5th place, you get like $25,000 extra or something. So he's like, and if you get down to 13th or 15th place, you get like $4,000 extra or like three. He's like, it's worth, now's the time where you take the risk. You just throw starters, you throw as many starters as you can that you believe in, and you just want them to pitch really well. So that was the council in the main event. The council in Tout is totally different because we're in a total, I'm in a totally different circumstance in that situation. And then Hader gets the next guy, then it goes first and third, then Hyesung Kim makes an error, then first and third, two outs. Hader looks like he's going to close it out, which would help in DL one, where Cushing is killing to get over us. And I think he just passed us last night for the first time, Rob and I. And then Hader throws a pitch high. Jorge Alfaro drops the ball. Trey Turner scores, tie game. I lose the win, lose the save. And I was just like, that's baseball, man. That's baseball. And that's baseball.
Fantasy baseball.
Yeah, it's fantasy, but it's also baseball. They're in the ninth inning. They're feeling the pressure of it. And you had like three flat-out errors in one inning. Three bad errors that should not have happened. But that was just, again, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I was like, oh, there'll probably be a story here with Josh Hader. So that was the end of the game, and then the Padres end up winning it in the next inning with nobody getting a win, nobody getting a save of consequence. But I have four middle relievers going this week. And Edwin Diaz going this week. And it's the right play. It's the right move. I even called Ariel Cohen to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, that's probably what I would have get. Yeah, that's the right move. You should do that. Sure. Yeah, sure.
There it is. There it is. Put that on your bingo card.
when you could go, you know, like call Dussault and call Cohen, you know, within an hour trying to get counsel. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, DVR those... just started paying attention to the rundown again, it looks like.
So there's that. And one of the other guys I picked up this week who's an under the radar guy is a guy that Tom Trudeau reached out to me about like a month ago after he made it. By the way, Devil's Rejects, Cameron and I are, Wilson and I are, we might break the record in that league. It'll be fun. But we got 193 points today. I don't think we're going to hold 193 out of 200, but we got 193 points. But Tom Trudeau reached out to me after he traded my opponent, like great players. He was like, hey, by the way, there's this guy Bay in Pittsburgh. What is it? Juan J. Bay? Is that it? Do you know?
We talked about him a long time ago on the show. If you control F Bay, you could probably find him.
He came up, and this is where the steals at the end of the season. So I spent a lot of, I had the hammer in NL Tout and I used it on Bay because he came up and Tom was like, hey, when he comes up, you got to grab him. I was like, all right, well, I'll grab him. He came up and stole like three bases in three games. So picked him up this week and he's a real under the radar guy. If he is available in dynasty leagues, he shouldn't be at this point, but if he is available in dynasty leagues and you have another pickup, you got to grab him because he's a real, even in keeper leagues. I shouldn't mention that before Monkey happens, but if you need steals, he's a great, interesting little player.
Tuesday, May 31st. He was a ninth thing on the rundown.
Wow.
Interesting. Lots of speed, some power, good average. When we also mentioned Bubba Thompson and Monty Harrison have seven steals in their last eight. Kyle Stowers is hammering the ball in AAA, seven homers in 13 games. How about that? That's a good show.
That's a good show. Stowers is up.
Joe Adell was hammering the ball. No, Stephen Kwan among the most dropped players.
Stephen Kwan. Wow,
what a good show this must have been.
DVR, what do you think of Stephen Kwan? Do you have a different opinion about him now than you did over the course of the season?
Yeah, he's still more bases than I expected. I thought he was going to be kind of a good batting average, maybe decent source of runs, empty everything else, but he's a steal away from 20. He's 19 for 24. This will work. If he continues to run that much, it's fine. I think the important thing if you end up rostering Kwan in the future is just making sure that you are overloaded with homers and RBIs at a couple other roster spots, because a guy that hits six homers being in your lineup all season doesn't fit particularly well. A guy with 50 RBIs in your lineup for a whole season doesn't fit particularly well.
How many runs does he have? I can't look it up because
it's getting 86 right now. So that's real good. That's great.
So who's a good match with him? Who's a good you get him in the third round, fourth round guy that you can then marry him with in 2023? I mean, the old days we would have said like Miguel Sano or, you know, or Gary Sanchez, if you're going to get Gary Sanchez, right? None of those work anymore.
It's just funny how fast players like that can kind of fall off and become irrelevant. I mean, I would even say, think about a profile that might be more like Rowdy Tellez. Maybe that's too light in batting average, because if you're drafting Kwan, you should be playing for batting average. You should not be middle of the road or certainly not punting if Kwan's going to be on your roster. If you care about it, that would be a weird thing to do. Yeah, you're looking for home runs and RBIs in excess from someone else. And you combine those two players, you kind of put them together and you go, okay, I've got 20 steals from these two players and I'm averaging 20 to 25 home runs from these two players and I'm getting the right mix of runs and RBIs. That's the type of mindset you would need to have a player like that.
It's going to be fun to get back into that part of the game. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Oh, man, I can't. I'm ready to. I'm like, let's do a best ball right now. Are they open?
They're not open yet.
Yeah, I guess I don't like best ball though. I like being able to pick up players every week and like play the game as it goes. There's some talk in one of the leagues.
There's no way you're dropping any of your leagues.
Yeah, I am. Oh, for sure.
No, you're gonna get cold feet right then. Be like, oh, you know what though? I love this league.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm dropping leagues for sure. There's no question about it.
All right.
There's no question. I got nothing left to prove. And so much of playing in leagues is I got to prove that I can play and I got to prove that I'm a no. That's it. Now I'm just going to do what makes me happy and leagues that I really enjoy and things that are, you know, bringing me happiness. Otherwise I'm not playing them. There's no question. It's happening.
You get back into acting?
No, not yet.
Cobra Kai season 5.
Hey man, I'll tell you, we'll find out. My older brother came to town And he was like, hey, carrying a little extra weight there, big guy. Straight up, gave me a hug. And he was like, whoa, hey, look at that. So I said, look, man, I spent 25 years having to watch every damn thing I ate. And I just, you know, and then a pandemic hit. So he's like, yeah, I know you're not acting anymore for a while, but like, you know, I'll keep you alive for a while. I'm like, all right. So I'm going to be doing a little competition with my big bro. And it's cool. It's good. But, you know, then maybe I'll look in the mirror and be like, hey, you know, maybe I'll get back into this acting thing. I got an open invite. They're ready for me to come back, but I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now.
Wait, who's ready for you to come back? Like your agents, or like, is there a show that's like, Ian, come on, man. We got you, man.
No. I have a really good agent who I've been with since I'm 20, and who, you know, he was one of my first impressions. He sounds really funny. He's like, hey, Ian, how you doing, Bob?
Sounds like Robert Evans.
What he sounds like is stage left, even.
No, yeah. Huckleberry Hound. Wait, is it Huckleberry Hound? No.
I don't remember. Whoever it is, like anyone over the age of 42 knows that. That's about it.
DVR, you know who that is?
No, I'm 38.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, you're an old soul.
Yeah, but does he know who it is? Stage left, even. Do you know what that is, DVR?
You don't have to know his name. You just have to name the cartoon.
I do not know.
Exit, stage left.
Stage left, even. There's half of our audience right now is delighted, and the other half is going, what the hell are you talking about?
One star. They're talking about the pink guy from Yogi Bear instead of Tucapita Marcano.
Yeah, well, you know, we try to be a full, yeah. So, yeah, no, he's ready for me to come back, but I'm not ready to go back yet. I'll go back one day. I will. I like it. But doing important stuff.
Like Googling cartoon Yogi Bear exit stage left name.
I want to talk about Josh Young again.
Yeah.
Because a couple of months ago in XFL, where Steve Gardner and I are get ready to play next year is the plan. And hopefully I might be going to first pitch Arizona, which is kind of exciting. I'm working on making a way to make that happen. In XFL, I guess it was like 2 months ago, DVR offered us Josh Young for Novelli Marte and Khalil Watson, I think it was.
No, it was Brennan Davis.
Oh, okay. So still a bad trade for us. But he offered us, because I was like, we got like 20 keepers. We can only keep 15. DVR's like, look, I'll help you out. That's how he did it too.
Wait. We're close. I said I'd help you out. I proposed the trade.
Yeah.
But you said it. You said it out loud. You floated it. And I said, here it is. It's out there for you.
Yeah, no. And when DVR is a really interesting trader, man. He's interesting to trade with. And I love him. You know, you're my partner and my friend. But I don't love trading with you so much because you're like, hey, you know, how's that? How's that going to work? Brennan Davis and Novelli Marte, you have too many. I could use those two guys. You get Josh Young. You could use a third baseman. You could use a third baseman. I'll help you out. That's how he put it. I'll help you out.
No, those pickleball players, man, stab you in the back.
DVR doesn't play, but you play pickleballs?
You kid? That sounds like, Ian, did you act ever in your career?
Oh, sorry. I guess I missed that. I'm sorry. I always relate pickleball to Ariel. Pickleball is the greatest game of all time.
We should put those two against each other.
I got DVR on that.
I'm not old enough to play against Ariel based on what I've learned.
We never talked about that. The post. We never also talked about the Fred Willer post, you know, the song that he did, which was so funny.
The one that DVR refuses to put at the end of every episode, even though you ask him?
He did it.
It's there.
Oh, all right.
It's there. Did it like three, I guess it was like three, 4 weeks ago. Anyway. This trade is now, at the time I was like, and DVR, I'll leave it out there. He's like, I'm leaving it out there for you. I'll help you out. Help me out. Let's do it. And I call up Steve and Steve's like, what do you think? I'm like, no, I'm not giving him two guys who are top 25 prospects or higher for one guy who's a top 20 prospect, but closer. We just can't do that. Like, I love DVR, but no, we're not doing that.
I wouldn't have even offered it if you hadn't said it, though. You were kind of talking through.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
Your inner monologue got out, and I heard it. And this is a chance. This is good for me.
I was like, here we go. What would it take? It would take like a That's exactly, you're right. You're exactly right. I was like, well, it would take, would probably take like something like Novelli Marte and Brennan Davis. And then you give me Josh Young easily. Maybe I get something back. And he's like, yeah, it's done. Right, hold on.
There you go. There it is. Click on it.
And I was like, whoa. And he's like, no, it's there. If you want it, it's there. And I was like, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. But here's the trick. Here's the tricky question now. Who gets the better of that trade if we made that? Because Josh Young looks like everything we could have hoped he would be. He won the game for them last night against the Mariners, who are trying. The Mariners are trying. DVR?
I think it's still the same trade. It's easy to take 10 days, 15 days worth of big league production and try and feel a lot better about that. But I think it's pretty much the same as the day it was offered. The only things that have changed is Young has become healthy and now debuted, and Brennan Davis is playing again. At the time this was out there,
yes,
Young was hurt and Brennan Davis was hurt, and the timetable for Davis was, it was pretty uncertain. There was definitely at the time no guarantee he was coming back this year in the minors. And Noel V. Marte ended up in the Reds organization.
Yeah.
He'll do well there. He'll do better in Cincinnati. It's a better ballpark.
Yep. Big boost to the home run projection.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to have a good home run projection anywhere, but kind of close to maxing that out being in Cincinnati now.
Yeah, he could put up some really, really big numbers. The Mariners are for reals, folks. They're for reals. If Jared Kelnick or, you know, Kyle Lewis could come back and become anything real in 2023 and moving forward, they're a really interesting ball club. And Ty France, your boy, was at third base last night for literally the first time all season. I think he did one defensive replacement at third base at some point, but I'm pretty sure that was his first start at third base, which would be awesome to get Ty France to get third base eligibility. That would open up a lot of stuff. But DBR, how are you feeling about your guy, Josh Young?
Really good. Of the players that debuted late this year, so that'd be like Henderson, Carroll, he's going to be a little overshadowed because of lost time in the minors. But I think other than offering less in stolen bases, it's just not like the main thing he does, but it's a thing he does a little bit. I think his overall offensive value from a real life context is not going to be that far behind Carroll and Henderson. From a fantasy perspective, people are going to want those players more because of what they do in that category. To me, Josh Young going back to college reminded me of Chris Bryant for a profile.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of where I'm expecting him to go. And it's just a matter of how quickly he reaches that sort of peak level. How much swing and miss is there going to be initially, and where does he settle in?
He's not walking. So he's got a 227 average with a 250 OBP. So that's not awesome. 28 strikeouts and 66 at bats, not awesome. But 5 home runs, 11 RBI, that's 100. I mean, you're not going to extrapolate that forward, but if you can't really do that. So I'm not going to do that. But here's the one thing you can. 2 stolen bases already. That actually, if you do that, and if he gives you 30 home runs and 12 or 13 stolen bases, where does he go next year? What round does, in a 15-team NFBC style draft, we don't know what the whole third base thing is going to look like yet. But where does Josh Young go? I have a round in my head. Nando, what round do you think he goes?
Oh, man. 10 or 11?
DVR?
Yeah, I had 9 as the number that popped into my head. And it might be starting where Nando suggested and kind of creeping up over the course of draft season.
I had 10. So I think that was the number that popped into my head was 10. So I think that's probably where he's going to go. Somewhere in that area right now. I mean, it'll depend on how he finishes the season. If he keeps if the average goes over 240 by the end of the year, he'll go up. Just in small sample size, just as we look at it, if it drops to 210, we'll get Joey Gallo fears, right? It'll be interesting how the season ends for these guys, because the numbers in the offseason matter. Like, what you're looking at is going to matter.
I just wanted to share this because I know we got a hard out at 11. And I know I mentioned this before about my Adolis Garcia home run challenge cards. Remember I told you, like, you get them from Tops. I bought a bunch for 99 cents each. You scratch it off. You got to go in. You got to pick the day you think he's going to hit a home run.
Yeah, did you win on those?
Well, so here's the thing. I filled out final. Like, I was literally carrying them around with me, like in my back pocket, being like, I have to do these. Like, all I need is a quarter to scratch this off. I can do it on my phone. And it was like 3 weeks of just either forgetting to do it or getting them out. And then something happens. And I'm like, okay, let me just put them down. So finally I did it. And I can tell you exactly. I mean, I can look up the date. It was probably about a week ago. And I filled it. So I went in, I filled it. I had six. I did like September 23rd, 24th, 25th. You know, I'm like, he's got to hit one in a week. And then like threw one. They have a double header on, I think like October 3rd or something like that. So I put them out there. I fill it out, right? Get them all in, hit return. I got six of them going. Go to our site. And you know how we have those news briefs? So the first one I had set was for the next day. So I go to the site. It is late. It's like 11 o'clock, I think. There's a Levi Weaver news brief that's obviously, like, no word yet on Adolis Garcia, who was hitting the left wrist with a pitch. He's getting, you know, x-rays, whatever. So, of course, I'm going to lose all of these now. I think I've lost three. And you don't, you know, if he doesn't play, you don't get to be like, okay, well, I'd like to switch that date. You're just done. So I don't think I'm going to be winning this Adolis Garcia. He's playing, but I mean, obviously, if his wrist hurts from getting hit on the pitch, not going to happen.
Wrist, you know, guys should be wearing more armor around their hands, I think. I think they should just change that. It's just too, you know, look at what happened to John Segura this year. Like, if you have, you're wearing batting gloves, why don't you just like wear batting gloves with a little steel on them or something?
Well, did you watch the K-Rod cast? We didn't talk about that. We didn't have a show.
No, I didn't. I almost did. And then my wife was like, go to the game. I was like, is it funny?
I'm not. So I'm nowhere near a fan of copying this Manning cast thing. And I've never been a real big Michael K guy. But it was Michael K and A-Rod, obviously.
And then Clemens
was next to them, and Bonds phoned in on like a Zoom. And Bonds and Clemens actually talked about, they're saying something, and Bonds goes, and yeah, and then remember Roger hit me in my arm, you know, when I was wearing the sleeve thing. And Clemens goes, it was a strike, but you should have been hanging on the plate. Like, it was like, and you're sitting there like these three guys, like three of the most disgraced baseball players ever, who also happen to be three of probably the best baseball players of our generation, are just sitting here talking about the game. And it was, and you got the guy who, you know, A-Rod's not breaking, or Judge isn't breaking his record, but like, it's, I don't know, it was fascinating. Like, I want to go back and watch the entire thing, just when those guys were on. I don't care about the K-Rod element. I get like having Clemens and Bonds and A-Rod at the same time was really good.
I used to be really down on Michael K, guys. I used to really not like him. I used to like be bothered by him on a regular basis, which sucked. And somehow, I don't know what it is. This year, I'm sort of like, I like him. I like him, you know? But like for 15, 20 years, I was like, this guy annoys me. And now I don't know. I kind of like him.
Well, maybe he's transitioning from eager young Fordham grad to a grizzled old Yankee. You know, he's almost he's older.
Danny Aiello's nephew, who I did Brooklyn Lobster with many, many years ago. C.J. Abrams. I just want to say this. C.J. Abrams, yo. And I got a tweet from a nice gentleman who I can't look up right now who said, hey, C.J. Abrams stealing bases up to second in the lineup. He's going to be undervalued going into next year because of the numbers I was just talking about. What is he hitting? Like 230, 220? He'll have like 7 or 8 stolen bases by the end of the season. Look out.
I love him. I love him.
I've been talking about C.J. Abrams since he was drafted with the number 6 pick 4 years ago, 5 years ago, now three, four years ago. Freaking one of my favorite players. All in on him next year. All in. Okay, what round does C.J. Abrams go next year, DBR, without the hype of people saying stupid things like I'm all in on him?
It's probably about round 18 of a 15-teamer, 18 to 20.
Yeah, okay, good.
I was going to say 15, 16, and I would probably do 11 or 12.
Ah, see, don't draft with Nando.
Why, wouldn't you want to if you consider that a wasted pick of mine?
No, if you want Abrams, don't draft against you.
If you want Abrams, yeah, don't draft against me.
Yeah, no, I want him. I mean, he's going to have second base eligibility, shortstop eligibility. He's going to steal 33 bases next year.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, people have such short memories. Everyone was scrambling to get C.J. Abrams this year, and especially when he was going to start the year with San Diego. We've got to get to, C.J. Abrams, amazing, shot up. And then he has a bad first ever season in the majors. He gets traded to Washington, whatever, you know, which should make his value go up even higher.
Makes it better.
And everyone's like, oh, and like everyone's just forgotten about C.J. Abrams, and they think he's a bum. and they forget about like the last 4 years of his production in the minors.
No, I don't think he's. I don't think people think CJ Abrams is a bum. I think they think he's 21 years old. He's a babyface kid who's playing with giant men. You know, I mean, it's a totally different experience to play at that level. One thing I'll say is, as Rob and I were going into our final, and that's in our final setup of the rosters, one thing I really lean towards is, who are the guys that I was in on all year? Like, when you get to the choice, do you want to play CJ Abrams this week? If I have a choice between a guy, like, do we play him or Jeremy Pena? Or, no, it wasn't him. We played them both. But, like, Joey Wentz. Joey Wentz, 3 weeks ago, Rob picked him up with us. He put him in for DL1 for a buck. I was like, really, Joey Wentz? He was like, yeah, I really like him. I was like, okay, all right. And we got him. And then Joey Wentz has just been awesome, just awesome. And he's like, I think we should start him in main event this week. Or no, we just decided. And he was like, yeah, but I'm not sure. You make the final call on this one because I may have a blind spot. And I said to him, and he wasn't great last night, but he was good. He was good. He was solid. I said to Rob, I said, we got to go with our guys. Like, that's a big part of this game. Like, if you had a gut feeling, I go back to this gut feeling about players, you got to go with your gut. You got to go with your gut at the end. Like, stop and feel. What are we going to feel at the end of Josh Hader's? That's the question I asked. What were we going to feel at the end of Josh Hader's relief outing? How does it feel? And it's like, doesn't feel good. All right, let's go with Joe Ryan then. Like, that's how I play. That's how I play the whole way. It's all about trying to feel what the future is going to bring. And I highly recommend it. Talk about it a lot. I think it's something that if people got into, they would enjoy it and they would see that actually we as human beings might know more than, there's more in heaven and earth than what is dreamed of in our philosophy, Horatio, is what William Shakespeare said.
That's a Snagglepuss line. Hey, I think we all know.
Left yeah. Even. There you go.
There's more to our existence even.
There's more in heaven and earth than is dreamed of in our, wait, I could do it as Jay Kane. That'd be perfect. Hey, bub. There's more in heaven and earth than is dreamed of in our imagination, Horatio. Yeah, bub. There you go, bub.
You're doing Snagglepuss. That's amazing.
No, I'm not. I'm doing J.K.
I know, but I mean, like, you're actually doing a better Snagglepuss.
It's J.K. All right, we got to wrap. We got to go. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to do it Thursday, right? So it'll be the end of the season. We're going to do a full season wrap up. Awesome, right?
Yeah, the full season wrap up. We'll get through three teams.
We're going to do a full season wrap up. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait. Ian will make the rundown.
Yes, I will.
No, I can help with the run. For that, I can do the rundown.
Okay, but I won't do it at 1 o'clock in the morning the night before.
Well, it's my fault because I should be doing it, and I'm just not there. I only care about like 8 players because I only got that one team. But I love you guys. All right, let's get out of here. For the man who will soon be starring in Karate Kid 5, holding on Manny Machado, Ian Khan.
Yeah, done.
For the man who's going to spend the next 5 weeks tweeting about pickleball because people obviously aren't getting it, Derek Van.
That's me.
I'm Nando Fino. Thank you for joining us. Have a lovely week. Good luck to all you going for a title.
See you next time. Good talk. Bye.